there's a spectrum, right? You can go this way or that way, but there's a happy medium in there somewhere for love. We want to see families that within the bounds of their own properties wrangle in the food, water, shelter, and surplus aspect of being alive.
Hello, and welcome to the Permaculture Vine podcast. My name's Cormac Harkin, and today we have Jamin Misilovich. Sorry for butchering that. Welcome, Jason. Jamin.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Hi. Could you just give us a quick introduction as to who you are, please?
Sure, yeah. You didn't butcher it too bad. My name's Jamin Misilovich. I'm really just an average Joe doing what I can to make things move. I was originally born on a 3-acre homestead and just kind of raised from a basis of what self-sufficiency was. My parents, around 9 years old, ended up losing the farm, and it kind of pushed me into this mode where I had to learn to do things myself. So I was always raised as kind of a DIYer. Ended up getting into business with landscaping, construction, started doing a lot with anything that I could with my hands, mechanics. I was a firefighter for 4 years in Evanston, Wyoming. And after a little while of realizing what was going on in the world, I just decided that we needed to make a change. And I had a mentor once that taught me that if you want change, you must change. And so I started to get into the community, and I formed an organization called TIAG, which stands for the Independent American Gardener. And with my experience in landscaping and homesteading in general, I started to blend the two and found permaculture. And so, long story short, now we have three organizations that all work collaboratively to support families towards self-sufficiency.
That's great stuff. A lot to cover there. So you have the do you want to just take us to when you first sort of heard the term permaculture? How you discovered it?
Sure. Yeah. So I was actually about 16, and I was just out in the garden, and I was actually just out of a heartbreak. And for me, nature was kind of my place of getting away from things. I was a young 16-year-old kid with a heartbreak, and so I was out in the mountains and trying to get my hands in the ground. And I come home that day, and I found a garden and started to just kind of tend to the soil a little bit and do something with my mind, you know? And one thing led to another. I started realizing how this garden was not like the mountains. There was no self-sufficiency. The plants were dying. If I didn't water it, it would kill away. So I started getting into regenerative agriculture and regenerative gardening methods. And that kind of led me upon the word permaculture just through a Google search. And then a YouTube rabbit hole, right? I just started becoming really enveloped with the whole philosophy of what permaculture design is and how it works in you know, earth care, people care, and future care, and just combines all these elements into kind of one unit. And you know, being raised as kind of a jack of all trades, having my hands in so many different places, permaculture felt like it kind of connected them all. Like it offered me the opportunity to take all the diversified areas of my life and put them into one place. And so that's really where I kind of hit the ground running and started researching it. It wasn't until I was about maybe 19, 20 that I started looking into getting certified. And I went through Verge Permaculture for my PDC so that I could begin to work with an organization that I felt like mimicked my paradigm and my principles, right? Because you can get into permaculture and you find some weird stuff from time to time. And so I did a lot of research over a lot of years to find the right organization. And now we partner with Verge, and I've connected several times with Rob Davis out there in Canada and went out to see him in person. We're now using that same education and our collaboration with them to support other families across the country.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's what I'm, one of the things I find out, it's all about making them connections and finding the ones that you sort of tie in with, because there's a lot of people hijack a lot of the permaculture stuff.
Right. Yeah, there's some stuff that you don't really want to get into when you start looking into permaculture. There's a spectrum, right? You can go this way or that way, but there's a happy medium in there somewhere for a lot of people to find, and that often comes through collaboration.
You just find your tribe, find your people.
That's right.
That's right. So your PDC with Verge, do you want to tell us about that? How was that, the online PDC?
It was, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I did a lot of different things throughout my life, just hands-on, but when it came time to certify, I was actually mobile. And we moved out to the Midwest. I'm in the Rocky Mountains today for some client work, but the PDC needed to be online. So I started looking into online. That's when I found Verge. And so we ended up going through them.
Yeah. I think we've had a few guests on through the Verge PDC.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe my PDC was one of the first that they launched from their physical after the COVID rush of things. And they kind of transitioned into doing it online. And I picked up in their first session.
Yeah. So you said you were a landscaper before the PDC?
I was. Yeah, I did a lot of desert landscape.
Desert? Very good. And how did your view on the landscaping business change once you'd done the PDC?
Oh, man, substantially. Yeah, there's something that you notice when you're in landscaping is that it's all about almost commanding and dominating nature. It's not really about working with it. It's about almost scraping it barren and then putting in what we want. You know, as a landscaper, you're talking about plastics, synthetics, and, you know, pesticide this and herbicide that. With the PDC and going through education in that regard, it kind of opens your ideas to what's possible in an alternative. You don't have to go that route. And most people, I think, get locked into that idea that there's really only one way to do it. And that's not true, because nature's been doing it all around the globe for decades, right? Eons. So we just have to shift your paradigm a little bit and get more into letting nature do what it wants to do and then guide it a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm sure then, I take it you were self-employed landscaper, were you?
I was, yeah. Yeah, I had several jobs while I was employed, but then I started doing my own regenerative landscaping business.
Right, do you want to tell us about that?
Sure, yeah, that was up in Evanston, Wyoming. Really, that was low-key landscaping. It wasn't quite like we do out here I'm in southern Utah right now in St. George. This was an employment out here where we did a lot of irrigation. When I moved out into Evanston, Wyoming, we started to get into doing urban landscaping, perennial shrubs and incorporating different ground covers that were already thriving and alive in the area using native species. And then just trying to change the paradigm a little bit, get rid of the grass and the things that cost money to maintain, and importing things that are a little bit more self-sufficient.
Yeah. And so someone coming out of a PDC, would you recommend becoming a landscaper, or that sort of get into that?
Not at all.
No.
No. No, I learned a lot in landscaping, but really, I think I had the most education and the most really drive and just passion for what I was doing when I stopped listening to the landscapers. You know, taking that education was nice because I kind of have a little bit of the language, but really the actual application of being a gardener, being a homesteader, and actually getting your hands in the dirt yourself and learning about how mycorrhizal fungi works and, you know, going through the network of your own mulch, that's where it matters. And landscapers kind of, you know, unless you find a regenerative landscaper that you can work with, the traditional concept here is that it's going to be very much remove what exists and import what I want. And that's not the way that we can create a self-sustaining system. So I don't recommend becoming a landscaper. Rather, I'd recommend becoming a farmer.
Yeah, no, that's good. A good perspective on it. So we try to sort of showcase different people and the way they work within permaculture. So then your landscape and your PDC, you have a homesteading background as well. Do you want to tell us about that?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. My homesteading background started when I was just fresh out of the womb. Actually, my parents bought a little 3-acre homestead in northern Utah, and I was raised there until I was about 9 years old. And about 9 years old, my parents actually went bankrupt and we lost the farm. And I ended up getting kind of moved through several different cities and several different states, lived in Evanston, Wyoming, for 5 years, was in Arizona for 2, and was in St. George, southern Utah for 3, and then Cedar City for 12. You know, I went out to California for a little while and just kind of bounced all over. And in my moving around, I was always drawn to farms and to local agricultural experts. And so I'd always go and network with them, and I had a few different just kind of hand jobs, farm hands, and I'd put up fencing and just handle the cattle, different things like that. But now we're out here in the Midwest, and we're establishing what we call the Hub Project. The Hub Project is a self-sustaining permaculture farm that operates as a central location to demonstrate what permaculture design is. We just secured the parcel earlier last year, and now this year we're finally moving forward with implementing some of our design concepts and getting that launched out to the public so we can show folks proof of concept. And that's kind of where we're at now, is just trying to work. This is a 16-acre property in a totally different climate than we get here in the desert I'm talking to you from, but a little bit diverse in what I have and haven't had my hands on.
So what kind of stuff are you doing at the Hub?
Well, we want to focus a lot on passive agriculture systems. So, for example, putting something in and leaving it alone and seeing how it thrives. I don't remember who it was that came up with the concept. He calls it the stun method. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
The stun method. I think it stands for sudden total utter neglect.
It's Sepp Holzer, is it?
It might be. Yeah.
Right.
He's very, very good at what he does. His concept is basically putting it in the ground when the conditions are right for that species, and then you should be able to walk away from it and have it survive and thrive and be productive for you. And so we were trying to implement a similar model. I don't know that I necessarily like the stun word. I feel like it maybe
That's
isn't the right one to go with.
a bit brittle.
But
No.
agroforestry, silvopasture, and a lot of passive solar greenhouse talk going on now. We're thinking about putting in some tiny home units with some passive solar greenhouses coming off the side, individual food forests attached to each unit, and then just an overall collaboration between every element on the property so that it can become kind of a central location for folks to see it with their own hands and then go home and duplicate it at their own location.
Right. And where's that located again? Sorry.
That's in northern Missouri.
Right. So you get all your range of travel, which is quite large then.
Oh man, I'm all over. Yeah. Last year we spent about, well, wasn't just last year, a little bit before that too. About a year and a half on the road, and we covered over 34,000 miles traveling to different states. We hit events in 24 different locations. We went up to northern Alberta and hung out with Rob Avis up there for a little bit, and then we went all the way up to New York, and then all the way down to Orange County, California. Like, I've been all over helping families everywhere we can.
That's great. It's great to hear. Sorry, there's not much information coming at me.
Sure.
It's hard to process all this. It's like, right, we'll go here, go there. So
Yeah.
back to the greenhouses. Is that the tie-in reverse? Because I see they have a course coming up, don't they? The passive greenhouse course.
They do, yeah. We haven't quite reached out to them yet, but we're talking about having them consult with us to get that greenhouse built as a kind of another location where they can demonstrate their design systems, because they really do have a good grip on that.
Yeah, I'm going to try and do that. I take at least 10 in the webinar anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I was saying before, it's very hard, and when you're trying to learn stuff, there's that it's like what do you pick? So what drives your sort of focus, and what kind of stuff you select to do?
Sure. Yeah. We have what we call the four pillars of self-sufficiency. So if you look around at what's going on in the world, families get their water from the municipalities, they get their food from shipping and freight, they get their surplus imported from other states or other countries. Like, everything is fragile. And so we want to see families that within the bounds of their own properties wrangle in the food, water, shelter, and surplus aspect of being alive, and the very foundational pillars of existing in self-sufficiency: food, water, shelter, and surplus. And so what we're doing, running around the country and helping, and up to Canada, and all these things that we do with families and communities, is we're trying to develop and fine-tune and actually physically, hands-on in the dirt, launch real permaculture communities in existing infrastructure, in neighborhoods that are already up, in cities that are already doing things. We just want to change the paradigm and get people to actually get out there and make this happen for themselves, so that they're, whether you're grid tied or not, doesn't matter, but you shouldn't be grid dependent, right? We should have that level of freedom and self-sufficiency where we don't depend on somebody giving what we need to us. We can provide it for ourselves. And then whatever we get excess of that is just cherries.
Yeah, so what kind of challenges are you getting there? Is it the change of infrastructure, or the change of mindset, or both?
Yeah. Mostly mindset, to be honest with you. When we do our events, the largest event we had was out in Idaho, and we had 65 people come out to that event. And we do a workshop and split up between a seminar style and a hands-on implementation, right? So we teach a little bit, and then we go outside and we demonstrate it. The teaching aspect, a lot of people are like, "Oh, I already know what I'm doing." Like, I already know what gardening is, and oh, I've heard permaculture before, but it's just gardening, and it's not. Permaculture is not gardening. Permaculture isn't even regenerative agriculture. It's rooted in those things. It's a pillar of it, but permaculture is a design science. It encompasses tons and tons of topics, right? And so as a design science, we try to educate first and say, okay, here's the paradigm that we operate from traditionally in society, and here's the redundancy built in regenerative paradigm where everything is contributing to another and we're all sustaining each other in this greater mission, this greater cause and network. And so trying to shift people out of the self-preservation mode and into the, you know, community preservation mode, that's been a big one, a big challenge for us. But 9 times out of 10, by the end of the event, people are really gathering the idea of what it means to have a neighbor you can rely on. And they really sink into that. We've had folks crying at events, thanking us for how good it's been. And really, frankly, I think they're looking for answers. And so once you say the right thing, somebody kind of grabs onto that and says, oh my gosh, this is what I've been looking for. And then you kind of, it kind of puts the walls down, right? And the paradigm begins to shift. But that's been a big piece of the equation.
Right. And then you say that the, that shift to in the community mindset, how does that operate in practice? Does it, is it about creating your own abundance and sharing it, or is it, no governance models and communities? Does that start to get bogged down in that kind of stuff, or is it,
yeah,
is it, how does it work in practice?
Yeah, absolutely. Good question. So, the way that we kind of look at it is it's a whole community approach to family self-sufficiency, right? So you got to plant trees in your own yard. You got to get your own rain catch system. You know, you got to do those things, but it's a whole community effort. It's, we do what's called TIAG community workshops. And so those TIAG workshops will go to one family's home and we'll bring everybody together and build up that home. Then we'll go to the next home, bring everybody together and build up that one. So it's a whole community effort to the family self-sufficiency levels. Now there is some infrastructure in this and some legalities and things that we have to tackle, especially in a place like this. I'm over here in St. George, Utah, and that's, there's a lot of false paradigms in the way that infrastructure works across America. For example, just recently they were paying landscapers to remove organic grasses and put in synthetic plastic instead, under the guise of trying to preserve water. Right. And so I get what they're coming from. Right. And we gotta try to meet their language, but we need to shift that a little bit. You see what I'm saying? And so there is some kind of a multi-level approach, but it is based around community.
Yeah. Back to the synthetic grass. Like, have you seen the heat differentials, the, and like if that's a sunny place and it's dry,
yeah,
it must
yeah,
be
kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah, you could. How can you stand on it?
No, no. But hey, they don't have to mow, right? So, whatever their draw is.
Yeah, so that's just the wrong way to cover up nature.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because I'm just referencing that because the governance side of it. I've just done a social permaculture course there for 3 days. Which is quite interesting. And for me, it's positive. If you have the time to consider every single person, that is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But quite often you don't. And I, for one, get fed up with things like that. When things are decision by committee, I like that model that you sort out the family first and then you sort of build them natural bridges, which is
yep.
And natural connections, which I think is a good model to demonstrate. And that, when you call that TIAG, what's that stand for?
Yeah, so TIAG is an abbreviation for or an acronym for the Independent American Gardener, and yeah, we're not trying to, you know, do something new. This isn't a new concept, right? Permaculture has been around for a while, and it's not just permaculture. You know, gardening in general has been around for a while. I think really what we're trying to push and trying to get people to understand and run with is the concept of how the Independent American Gardener of the olden days used to be self-sufficient. They used to have their own food. They, you know, where do you think food came from before agriculture started up, right? And now today we're so based in importing things that it's become dangerous to not only our own health but also to freedom in general. And in order to maintain that liberty of the family unit itself and preserve the family itself, it really does come down to what the Independent American Gardener is doing in their backyard.
Yeah, and if you're gardening yourself, you're taking the pressure off your community, so you're actually doing quite a service. I always find it funny when I started gardening and growing food. My parents would say, "Oh, my parents used to grow food, used to keep pigs," and it's like that. It only took 2 generations, and it was gone.
Yeah,
and now when people are starting to do it again, it's like so much. No, sign of wealth. I don't need to garden. I can just go buy it.
Yeah,
and the nutrient loss. Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say I saw this post just recently on somebody in our community had shared. I think they got it off of Facebook or something, and it said, You know, we used to complain all the time how we were born in this generation. We would have loved to be born back then, but actually, I think we were born in this generation to keep the old ways alive. And I think that's the way to look at this.
Yeah, no, for definite. And then, so how do you how does that work in practice? From so do you reach out to communities? Do they reach out to you? How do you get in, how do communities get involved with you?
Yeah, a little bit of both. We have more work than we can keep up with. The way that this works, generally speaking, is we have sites that we want to visit to expand our own education, or we have somebody that's in our network who really has loved the mission and the movement that we're on, and has wanted us to be out there for a while. So based on those two aspects, we'll choose if we're going to reach out to that person or reach out to that area. And then head that way. And we kind of put it through a little bit of an event schedule and say, okay, here's our travel route so that we can hit the best locations, make the best use of our time. And then other times, people, like just right now, the reason I'm out here is because somebody reached out to me and said, hey, we'd like you to come out this way. And so they're flying me out this way. And so things are kind of all over the board. You know, we're a small family business, but we have a whole big organization developing here with kind of a broader vision than just one person can manage, right? And we got a team now of six individuals, and we're expanding our collaborations even further than that. But it's all started with just me and my family in a camper, and we were traveling and teaching permaculture all over the country and sharing online what we were doing, and just more people would come and follow through the comments or see us in person, give us an email, whatever it may be, and we just kind of follow that wherever it led us.
That's great. Do you want me to tell me more about that? Because that's fascinating. So you basically love the nomadic lifestyle,
Oh,
teach
definitely. Yeah.
permaculture class.
Yeah. So our first kickoff was we had a little property, we call an urban property out there in Missouri. We called Lulu's Garden. And Lulu's Garden was just a 0.87 acre urban house. And we were going to develop it into a food forest and demonstrate urban permaculture. But then we got the whiff of inspiration and we said, you know what? This isn't good enough. We need to reach more people. So we actually sold our home and our property and used the funds to purchase a camper. And then we went on the road for a year and a half. I got five boys, and my wife was pregnant, and we had a husky, and we had a little 36-foot camper behind an F-150. And we went all around the country, went up to New York, Michigan. We went down through Tennessee, North and South Carolina, then across this way all the way out to Orange County, California, and back again. We did four figure eights around the country. And then we zipped up to the northern Alberta. And that whole time we were doing this, we were making pit stops at events and workshops and teaching and, you know, doing recording videos. We'd visit somewhere we felt like held a gem for education, like, you know, a little golden nugget in this area. And we're like, oh, we need to talk about this microclimate, or hey, we need to identify the species for people, you know, whatever it was. And we would record those things and post them up in our private membership community. And just people would follow along and join in the mission. And now it's to this point where we've retired the nomadic lifestyle and we transitioned into developing the hubs, and we call this phase three of the program.
So guys, would it be correct to say you have a semi-nomadic lifestyle? Like you're
Yeah.
not a just so you're still on the road, but
Yeah,
not
sort of.
fully.
Yeah, in this moment that I'm talking to you, we're actually, technically speaking, we really have no home base because the property back there in the Midwest doesn't have a structure on it yet. We just sold our camper to transition into this, and I'm just doing this workshop before we head home and get all that sorted out. So you caught me in the middle here.
Oh, it's very inspirational. Very, it's just the energy just to get up and go, and five
Yeah.
boys, a husky and a pregnant wife, and
Yeah.
that just shows there's no excuse for people. Some people would have seen
No,
that as
no.
a oh, I can't do it.
No, my kids have seen things most adults don't get to see their whole life, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's it is very inspirational. So you said you had a private members community.
We do, yeah. That's so TIAG is an acronym for the initiative and the movement, right? But it's actually also a private membership community where we bring all of everything that we're doing into one place. We're developing TIAG officially as a nonprofit and seeking 501c3 status so that we can begin doing permaculture designs collaboratively and events, all under the context of nonprofit activism. We really just want to see culture change, right? We really just want to see a permaculture people. And so we're just rallying everything we can into this one fashion.
That's great. That's fantastic. So, any advice for someone who was thinking of who just got a PDC? You've obviously just went on the road, educated yourself, educated others. Any advice for someone who's just finished the PDC, what they should do?
If they contact us. So people fresh out of the PDC is kind of a target for us, where we're trying to help those people off on the right foot. So we've developed income generating options for them if they want to do it professionally. We've also just got a digital resource library of free materials through the nonprofit to support them in their personal journey. Really anybody that has come out of a PDC, we have something for them, whether that's just a conversation with us to get them kicking, or it's a professional partnership.
Oh, great stuff. And how would that work? So I've just done a PDC. Do you have to be in the States?
Yeah. Oh, no. No, not at all. Yeah, just best way is just to contact us at support@havenpermaculture.com.
Yeah.
And that'll get you connected to my team, and then we'll work with you from there based on what your inquiry is.
Well, great stuff. And can you give us an example of what any of the models there look like?
Sure, yeah. So one way that we're working with designers right now is they come out of the PDC. We onboard them with what we call the Journey Program. The Journey Program is a TIAG community program. And inside the community, we broadcast live, actually designing real-world permaculture properties. We do video streams with up to 6 different designers all together on Zoom. And we discuss the processes that we're running into, the difficulties we're experiencing. And we do that for 3-month segments. And then the next 3 months, we jump into the next property. This next one starts March 1st, and it's going to be in a broadcasting the details of a project on 38 acres in Southern Carolina.
Great stuff. That's awesome to have that support.
So we'll tie them into that and get them some education. And then we also provide the opportunity for them to get involved with that. This is a little bit fresh. I'm kind of stumbling over my words here because we don't have it fine-tuned yet. But the idea is we want to get these new, fresh designers into an actual portfolio builder program. A lot of the families that we come across in these events, you know, they cling on to the idea, but it's expensive to not only design a property, but to actually implement the design of a property, unless you're doing it a little bit lower key. And we really want to see it thrive and be, you know, very professional and pull out GIS software and get it done. But the way that we bridge that gap is we do what's called portfolio builders. So fresh designers that need to up their portfolio or acquire a skill, we're providing a list of real world families that need a permaculture design through the nonprofit that these new designers can come and do and gain that extra climate experience and add these designs to their portfolio. They have the option of actually traveling out there if the family pays their travel for them, and they'll do on-site assessment with us. And then they'll get back into their own neck of the woods and continue remote design.
That's great. Sort of ties into what we're doing as well. Well, you're doing it on a bigger scale there. Well, we have a PDC to Pro program. So we've, of course, basically taken you from finish your PDC and learning digital design using Affinity, building your website, and again, just getting that first portfolio piece on the board, on the web, so you have that sort of placeholder there. So that's for sale, PDC to Pro, down below. It's out now.
Awesome.
There's so much stuff. I don't know where to go here with this.
Yeah. You gotta have me on again. We'll dive into a different aspect.
I think
the important thing is for anybody listening would be to go to TIAGcommunity.com. That'll kind of connect you to all the different web of what we've got going on.
That's great. And I'm fascinated by that journey. It's something I'd love to do myself. Just pack the kids up and go and learn.
You really should. There's people that need that. You know, you'll find if you start really putting yourself out there, people just kind of get put in your path. It's just, it's needed right now.
Definitely a big believer in that as well. The universe always provides.
Absolutely.
So how, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. How do you fund all this? Is it from design fees and things like that? So as somebody who would look to do the same, basically, is there multiple sources of income, YouTube channel, anything like that?
Yeah. So financially speaking, we offer what's called the design package, and then the design package finances the program where it gets us out there, gets us networking, and then we leave the area having acquired whatever it was that we did while we were there, right? I don't like to visit an area without making more connections. And so, you know, especially this might be good advice for anybody looking to do something similar. Once you go to a spot, go see the local community gardens, you know, go call the extension office, go network with anybody that you see around the area that's doing something similar, and just have, you know, just out of nowhere, just start conversations with people that you see that are doing something that you want to be invested with. And you'll find that making those connections and building rapport with people kind of funds more projects down the road. And a lot of what we do is not, it's not building funds. It's not generating funds. It's just effort that we put out there that has no return whatsoever. But then later on, you know, even a year down the road, sometimes we'll all of a sudden be contacted by somebody for about something that we did, you know, a year ago, and they've been waiting for the right time to reach out, and then they'll hire us for another permaculture design project, or they'll get us out here for an event or whatever it may be.
Great stuff. So you're putting it forward first, and then you're reaping the rewards down the line. That keeps you going.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to mention about TAG? We covered everything there.
Yeah, sure. One important piece about this is that you know, we're kind of in a unique situation with TAG, where we're focused a lot on the family unit itself. I think a lot of permaculture is based in the idea of nature and, you know, and following a regenerative aspect, but it can overlook how important it is that the family unit, our human family unit, moves forward and continues to thrive. And so the people care aspect is a big part of what we're working on. And so any families that have felt a little bit lost as of lately, the last few years, that connect with us, generally we're able to line them up with a good path forward, where we're able to kind of cultivate a sense of hope for them. And that, I think, is a missing element in so much of permaculture, because people get overwhelmed with all the negative things that are going on. And so our focus is really, hey, let's solve the family problems, and let's get into, you know, a mode of personal development and growth, so that we can look at the planet in the right way, and then we can look at surplus in the right way, and then we can really stack those functions to be able to create a self-sufficient community. And so we do have a little bit of a ladder and an approach to things, but it's all based around the family.
Yeah, I think that's really good. Especially, you could argue that the families were under attack recently.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So here's not so bad. It's still, because you grow up with religion, it's here, it's present. So I think that helps keep families together. Even though everybody Absolutely. Doesn't practice, it's still, you're brought up that way, and it's sort of, it helps keep that family together. Jamin, it's been great chatting. That's fantastic. You've blown me away with all the stuff you're going. I need to go process it, and we'll definitely get you on for a
Well,
chat.
You said we only had 45 minutes, so I had to just give you as much.
Yeah,
right?
But it normally runs between 30 to 45 minutes. So with all that information, sure. You know, it's like, right, sort of, it's like, I think that's enough for the audience just to sort of absorb. They can go look at you, and then. So good stuff there for beginner designers, current designers. You know, there's a lot of good value for people there. Definitely love your energy, love what you're doing. Just your attitude is great. And you're definitely good for permaculture anyway, and spreading the word.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been good being on here.
Jamin, thanks very much. Guys, that's been the Permaculture Vine podcast. Join us next week. And again, the PDCD Pro info is in the description, as well as all Jamin's links. Jamin, thank you. Cheers.
Thank you.